Just got back from a week of church camp, and man, it was just an amazing week. Spirit of the camp was great. We were missing some churches that normally come with us, and I'm telling you, they were missed. But God just moved this week. It was phenomenal to see, you know, the lives that were saved and rededicated and surrendered. It was a thing of beauty. I think if I had my guess at it, it's because we, as leaders, came together with more of a heart of collaboration and more of a spirit of unity with what God was doing with us this week than we ever have, in my opinion, of this week that I've been to camp. And so it was just really awesome. You know, you come with expectations, numbers are going to be down, and you know, plans are going to be different. But just another reminder that different is not always bad. It's just different. And to see God work in the way that He did this week was nothing short of amazing. Give Him all the honor and glory, to which He alone is due. I just want to kind of rehash some of the things we went over with the kids. Our theme was summer school, back to the basics. And we kind of went with a playbook that our pastor friend Joe Gunther laid out with us. Joe was one of the ones that wasn't able to join us, but he did join us because his heart was poured into all of the stuff that we did together. Our hearts were brought together on discipleship and passing on our faith to the next generation, and that's exactly what Joe's heart was for what they were doing this year. And so the Lord allowed us to collaborate on that, which is always a good thing in the kingdom. And so back to the basics, the addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, just going through those relatable terms with students and showing that in fact is what God has done with His church, and specifically in the book of Acts, we looked at that. And so it was really cool. That thought of back to the basics has been what God has been doing in my heart for some time about, you know, how did His church look and start out functioning? And if it doesn't still look and function that way, much more so am I okay with that, but is He okay with that? And what do we need to do to change that? This concept of having church, even our vocabulary, I know I've ranted about this before, but it's not enough to have church. We need to instill into this generation what it is to be the church. When you look at Acts, you don't see people having church. You see people being the church, and what a difference it made. And I just want to talk to you real quick. I've already used up 4 minutes, like, just kind of sharing my heart with what God's been doing. But, you know, with the first thought of addition, it was simply that, you know, God adds us to His kingdom. We are added. We have to be added to the body of Christ. You know, I'm so thankful that, you know, just like addition is the foundation of mathematics, it seems that Jesus Christ is the fundamental foundation of our salvation, of our eternity, of our everything. You know, 1 John 5:11-12 said, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and His life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not enough to be a great person. It's not enough to belong. You know, it's not enough to go to a church. It's not enough to be a part of a group of people that have church and base our salvation on that. Our salvation is found in Jesus Christ. And once we've done that, once we've followed His call, once we've answered the drawing of our hearts to Him. And we've given our lives to Him in repentance and faith. Then we see what happens is, man, it's so awesome. In Acts chapter 2, you see the people's will being added to God's will. They wanted their will to be the same as God's. They wanted the things that God wanted them to be involved with, they wanted to be involved with. And you see that. You see that happening. We kind of played this out at other places in Scripture about adding, and that was with the thought of adding action to our faith. You know, James talks about that, that we'll show our faith by our works. And we looked at the illustration that was given to us in Mark chapter 5 about the four friends, how they added action to their faith, and they took their friend to Jesus. And we see in that a spirit of compassion, not just sympathy. You know, the lost world, the lost and dying world does not need our sympathy. They need our compassion. The difference between those two is sympathy does not motivate action. Sympathy is just, I'm sorry. I just want you to know I'm sorry. But compassion means I want to help fix this. The lost, dying world does not need us to feel sorry for them. They need us to share Jesus Christ with them. They need us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. They need us, quite frankly, to repeat myself, to be the church, not simply to have church, to pass on this love and this vision and this relationship with Jesus Christ, to share that with this generation, to share that with the next generation, so that we can make disciples who make disciples, so that the kingdom of God continues. And I know that the battle's already been won. I know the war's been done. But guys, we act like lost souls are just something we maybe can't help. And you know what? We can. We absolutely can. That's what He's called us to. And it takes a spirit of compassion. Second thing He talks about, which is so cool because it ties in really to what the leadership of the camp this year, our week of camp, accomplished, and that was a spirit of collaboration. These guys worked together. I mean, you think about these four friends on top of this roof and the time that it took to dig through this roof. I don't want to be dramatic, but I mean, think about it. These guys are digging through a roof. It took some effort. It took some commitment. I don't know if you've ever played helium hula hoop, where you raise a hula hoop, all you have in a circle, and you have to raise it. I'm sorry, you have to lower it. And what happens is you keep raising it because you're all... Think about lowering a guy who's sick on a stretcher through a hole in the roof you just cut. I'm assuming there's one in each corner. That's how we've always, you know, that's what the flannel graph showed, right? One in each corner with ropes. The control it takes to lower a man who's sick. I mean, you've seen youth groups play this out. You've seen pastors illustrate this. I mean, invariably some poor teen gets dumped on the concrete floor of a camp chapel, or some little kid gets his head knocked against the stage. It's not easy. It takes working together. When we combine our wills with God's will, when we see what God's plan is for us, it is to collaborate with other believers. And we look in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what happened. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, and daily in fellowship, and prayed together. They worked together. They said they had all things common. That's not a picture of early communism. It's a picture of getting their eyes off of them and onto the needs of others and onto the will of the Father, so that every man's needs were met. It wasn't about, let's make everybody have equal stuff and then we'll just pass out and distribute. They did that for a time. That obviously wasn't anything they stuck with, because in chapter 12, they're still selling property. They still had property. So don't miss that fact. Don't lose that. But here's what it is, it wraps into the thought of is that it's collaboration. You can't collaborate with your eyes only on you. You're a pitiful collaborator if you are. If that's what you do, nobody wants to collaborate with you. If you can't get your eyes off you and how you want to do it and the things that you want to do and do it your way, nobody will want to collaborate with you. So a spirit of compassion, a spirit of collaboration, and last, and this is just the preacher's son in me. It took a spirit of continuance. I have to alliterate. It's just how my mind works. You know, all the letters starting the same. They continued. Again, not to belabor the point, but digging through that roof took some time. Took some effort. Carrying that friend to Jesus took some effort. So the question comes to us. It comes to me, certainly. Let me just share my challenge with you. What's standing in your way of your life? If you haven't been added to the body of Christ, if you don't know where you go if you died today, if you're still thinking that this life is about you and that you think one day you're just going to die, can I tell you, you're right about one thing. You are going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but it continues that after this, the judgment, where we stand before a holy God. And you can either stand in your sins or you can stand in Christ. And those who decide to live this life for themselves, denying the God that they know of within their own being and in their own hearts, but denying Him, who He is. Guys, our Bible tells us that, you hear these words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." But to those in Christ, to those in Christ who enter into His reward. And when we combine our will with His, and we have a spirit of compassion for those that are lost, and so we act upon that, our action, it gets added to our faith, and we have a spirit of collaboration, we work together to build the kingdom of God, we become the church rather than part of a group that has church. And we have this spirit of continuance that, yes, we're tired. Yes, we get frustrated. Yes, things don't go our way. But we continue on in the faith. We press towards the mark. Oh, to hear our Father say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What's standing in your way? What's keeping you? From either a relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you already have that, following His will for your life. Back to the basics. God, I love you, and I thank you for this opportunity you've given me. I thank you for this platform. I pray that, God, you would have it hit hearts that it needs to hit. Lord, thank you for burdening me once again to do this, and I just pray that your purpose would be accomplished. I give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name, I ask.